Well, I tried my best to be at rest when the moon and the wind both died. You locked me in with your best friend, though your window was open wide. I escaped in time to see your man trucking in a bar again. He was finally losing, singing to Susie, sucking a big bottle of gin.
Go might help if I turn on the microphone. Hey, direct from Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse, Outlaw Bar. That's right. Leading off with Joe Ely and Sucking on a Bottle of Gin. How about that? Hey, it is the 15th of November 2014, and it's Saturn's Day. And guess what we do on Saturn's Day around here? We go back in the closet, back in the archives, and dig out a Sling Blade show and see what he's going to say. I have no idea. I've had these shows all ready to go for a long time. They're back there. And so I'm going to dig one out and play it for you. In the meantime, don't forget P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations, and just about everybody's got their donation in for this month, and that's great. That's right. That's the way we like it. Get it in here by the 15th. That's about it. Yeah, it's a sort of a dismal day out there today. It's not raining. It's not snowing. But it's overcast and cool. I went up to the big yearly ham radio extravaganza today, up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at the Coliseum. I never saw so many hams in my life. There must have been 1,000 of them in there. And they had their flea market, ham radio, shortwave flea market, computers and so forth. And they had about, it was unbelievable how much stuff they had in there. I looked around there, found a couple of things I wanted. Not anything big, But I was looking around for some transmitting equipment, but they didn't happen to have it, and I'm not going to talk any more about that. So I came home. Everybody was walking around up there with a transceiver on their coat, on their chest. These small transceivers now that they have had a little whip antenna on it, so most of these guys were talking to each other. You know, it's a lot different than when I was a kid. When I started out, when I was about 12 years old, we built most of our stuff. Now it's all manufactured. I don't think anybody builds anything anymore, you know. We did go to a ham radio store to buy stuff. We took a pickup truck. Now you can put it in your glove compartment of your car. It's unbelievable. One thing good, in an emergency, you got thousands and thousands of these guys out there equipped for emergency and disaster and all that kind of stuff. So it's a good thing. I've had several ham tickets over my lifetime, four or five at least, and one from Germany and all over the place. Yes, I have. And I've gotten several awards as a ham radio operator. I don't talk about that stuff too much. But I got an A1 Operator's Award from the American Radio Relay League when I was about 15. How about that? I told a guy up there today that. He said, I'll be damned, man. I sat at the operator's table for, I think, about 36 hours straight. And the telephone company had a strike. And so the Ground Observer Corps needed help during the Cold War. We were expecting Russian bombers over Warsaw, Indiana any day. Well, what the hell do we know? Yeah, they gave us a book on how to identify Russian bombers. And everybody's got their binoculars out around town looking up in the sky for Russian bombers. And they'd call in to us if they saw something, and we'd call a report into Chicago. Over ham radio. It seems sort of funny now, but it wasn't funny then.
We need to implement. If you're putting a flyer on a windshield of a car, that is not racial holy war. If that's all you can do, I'm not going to come down on you, but that's where I want to make the line of demarcation between Ghost Wolf and Radio Rahoa. Time is late. The hour is late. We are definitely running out of time. We have enemies all around us. We turn on our TVs, there's enemies on every channel. There's enemies in every institution. This dilapidated house will not help us by just replacing the floorboards. The whole house needs to come down. The whole house needs to be burnt to the fucking ground. The whole house. That's every institution. The Christian churches have failed us. The schools have failed us. Failed us because they've been infiltrated by a fifth column. Antonio Gramsci's long march through the institutions, which he talked about in the 20s. I don't know if Antonio Gramsci was a Jew. I wouldn't be surprised if he was. Antonio Gramsci was an Italian socialist who coined the phrase the long march through the institutions. And they have succeeded. We got to put up with all kinds of shit on the TV screen. I mean, Denzel Washington's coming out now with a new super nigger movie. You know, it's like every year they got to come out with a super nigger movie. And some black who would hear say, wait, what about all the white superhero movies? Well, the thing is, though, black man, the white man invented the cinema. The white man invented cameras. So we should be able to express ourselves any way we see fit. You're not even a Johnny Come Lately. You're just somebody who is used by the Jew to float this fucking ideology that blacks are just like white people. Bullshit. I saw something the other day on the History Channel. They had it called Armageddon Week last week. They had a thing called Earth 2100. And I've seen this on ABC before. It's a two-hour documentary. But it takes place written from the perspective of a person who was born on January 1st, 2009 and what life would be like in 2100. It goes through the whole global warming thing, the big thing on global warming. Well, they had Van Jones as a spokesman on there. We know how Van Jones feels about, you know, the white race. Make no mistake about it, green is the new red. Eco-justice, social justice, they're all intertwined now. We had John Holdren on there talking about the end of the world because of global warming. You had John Podesta and a number of other Jews. Incidentally, Podesta said that if globalization breaks down, the whole world will end. How we need globalization. No, Podesta, what we need is doomsday. What we need is for white people to raise up and say, listen, if we're not going to have a place under the sun on this planet, then no one will. I have a very urgent sense of urgency, I guess, about my racial kinsmen in Europe. Your situation is a lot worse than America or Australia. Your situation is worse. Canada's not too far behind you. You are under some very potent dispossession at the hands of just Muslims, not to mention the Africans and the Hindus and the Asians. So note to have here, Apocalypse Man, Urban Seeking Shelter for Hours of Darkness. What about Tracks in the Snow? Right. You know, when I watched that Apocalypse Man last week, you know, he's going through this abandoned city foraging for food and this and that, and how he negotiates obstacles. He doesn't want to go in the river because the river is backed up with sewage. Because when the grid shuts down, the treatment plants will back up with the raw sewage, and that will go in all the waterways of the city. So you don't want to go in any waterways in a major metropolitan area. If you want to go in some water, you got to go far outside the city. But what about leaving tracks in the snow when you're foraging for food? It's going to be very, very cold. That's why you need to definitely have some sturdy clothing. You guys need to be getting that stuff together now and buy that sturdy clothing and don't wear it. I mean, wrap it up in plastic and save it for that bug out day. But this Earth 2100, I mean, it's like everything that these social Marxist liberals put out. It's so filled with emotionalism. And it's not based on any fact. All the statements that people made were based on emotionalism. Now, I guess I want to, I was supposed to read this on their Ghost Wolf show, a little book report I did on the Rogue Warrior written by Richard Marcinko. Richard Marcinko was a badass son of a bitch. Too bad he showed his badness in service to the system. Too bad we don't have white men in the struggle like Richard Marcinko. According to Dick Marcinko's Rogue Warrior, pretty common guerrilla tactic that the guerrilla forces used was to use schools and hospitals as their defensive positions. And when the forces like the American Army or whatever would, extricate these guerrillas, they would, in the process, destroy the schools and the hospitals. And that's like a win-win situation for the guerrillas because that's a good thing for propaganda. I wonder how we could do that. I think it would be very different if there's ever a guerrilla war in this country. No matter what we do, we'll always be the bad guy. Also, when I'm reading this book, I came across the word schlemiel. Schlemiel is fucking Jewish Yiddish bullshit, which means a bum. Ah, look at me, I look like a schlemiel. That's a fucking Jew word. What the fuck's it doing in that book? And supposedly, Richard Marcinko said that in one of his dialogues? Bullshit. That's that fucking Jew, John Wiseman. Jews got to interject themselves into everything. In some upcoming shows, I'm going to be reading some paragraphs out of Which Way Western Man by William Gailey Simpson, along with hopefully some tactical things. We need to see how the Jew has infiltrated every fucking sphere of our existence. He told how his U.S. Navy SEALs went to Egypt to train Egyptian counterterrorist personnel in the art of counterterrorism. It was a fiasco. Egyptian commanders tried to rescue hostages on a plane. This was not a training exercise. This was for real. These so-called Egyptian commandos killed 57 of the hostages and virtually destroyed the plane. An American special ops advisor was there on the scene, and he watched in horror as innocent people were just butchered because of the carelessness of these Egyptian commandos. The stuff that you see, the precision and the professionalism of the art of being a soldier and a commando that you see manifested in the GSG-9 from the Germans, British SAS, American Special Forces, France has an outfit, and so does the, in fact, I have them listed here. Yeah, he had a high opinion of the British SAS and the French GIGN, the Italian GIS, and the Norwegian Special Ops Combat Swimmers. But he felt a real kindred spirit with the German Grenzschutzgruppe 9, which is the GSG-9. And he said, these were some bad motherfuckers, man. Well, I'm hoping that members of these groups in their countries start doing a little bit of extracurricular activity when they're not on the clock. Use that special skills to start liquidating some of your enemies. You know, I had a dream last night. I had a dream that I watched CNN, and it was an breaking alert news story coming on the TV screen there. And it was about how these French white insurgents just fucking went ballistic and killed so many Muslims and dumped them into the Seine River, which runs under the Eiffel Tower, that the river turned red with their blood. And that started a chain reaction where numerous cities all over Europe, Amsterdam for one, started liquidating the non-whites in their country. Just fucking went off. It's like a 100th monkey type of thing. You know, when the Japanese zoologists were studying those monkeys on that island off the coast of Japan, and they're feeding them sweet potatoes, but the monkeys liked the sweet potatoes, but they didn't like the sandy grit that was on sweet potatoes because the zoologists would toss them on the sand on the beach there. Well, one monkey started washing sweet potatoes in the stream, then two, then three. Then before you knew it, by the time it reached the 100th monkey doing that, it was just it was like a cognitive evolutionary trait that not only took place on that island, but the other islands as well. Who will be the 100th monkey to start the bloody racial holy war? Because that's what's needed. We don't need any more flyers. White people cannot fucking plead ignorance to any of this shit. We don't need to warn them about anything. They see what's going on. Even the most brain-dead white motherfuckers, they see what's going on. Now, either they don't care, or they're diametrically opposed to what we believe in. So either way, we got to do what we can to take peace and safety from the land. And let there be nothing but chaos. And maybe that will, you know, cause white people to be more guerrilla-like and accept their revolutionary fate. And if they don't, well, they'll either die at our hands or the black man's hands. All right, he also, Richard Marcinko, told him how his SEAL Team 6 infiltrated Beirut by coming ashore with a Marine contingency and then changed clothes and then lose themselves in the crowd. I thought that was kind of cool. How could we implement that? How could we infiltrate an area where we won't be noticed going in or noticed going out? Let's use our imagination. Incidentally, talk about the pussy-ass rules of engagement in Beirut that left Marines guarding facilities holding M16s with no fucking magazine or ammunition in them. United States and their pussy-ass, cowardly fucking policies. It's like, they don't want to offend them. They don't realize that the place that they send our guys to are the most backward-ass places in the world. That these people will never think like us. They are so far on the other fucking scale from the way we think. But they just don't get it. We need to get these motherfuckers out. Alright. He told how when he was an attaché stationed in Cambodia, well, he would have to meet visiting U.S. senators who were there on a fact-finding mission, but who would come over there really and spend like 99% of their time fucking little brown girls. It was their aides and their attachés that wrote up a quick piece for them to read before the Congress when they got back. And they went over there on your dime. You know, I need to draw some connections here. So I'm switching over now to the conspiracy theory show hosted by Jesse Ventura, which is, so far from what I've seen, pretty good. Now, let's draw some connections between these episodes, because they're like pieces of a puzzle to me. The first one, he talked about HAARP, which is that facility up in Alaska that literally has the technology to put a hole in the ionosphere way up there in the ozone and therefore change weather patterns. Maybe they can alter a jet stream here and there. Could it be that they're the ones causing global warming? Could it be that they're the ones that are doing their thing so these faulty scientists can have arguments to back up their claims? That's right, faulty scientists. Sir Christopher Monckton of Britain, who's an expert on global warming, says it's all a fucking hoax. And a lot of people coming out saying that this is a fucking money-making scheme. So what kind of role is HAARP playing in that? Then we got Big Brother watching us, keeping an eye on us, through their alphabet soup Praetorian police agencies like the FBI. And then we got the secret societies. And don't forget that Big Brother runs interference for the secret societies like the Bilderbergs and the Freemasons and the Jew-Masonic people in this country. That's all law enforcement does. It doesn't protect us. It doesn't keep us safe from terrorists. Big Brother runs interference for the secret societies. And now tonight they have an episode on 2012. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the superiority of the fucking Mayans, how the Mayans were just such fucking geniuses. Bullshit. I think I've told you guys before that when archaeologists excavate in and around the pyramids of Giza, the further down they go, they see the simplicity of the tools farther back in time. When they come up closer to the surface, tools and artifacts or whatever become more complex. When the archaeologists have excavated in and around the pyramids in Mexico and Central America, they didn't find anything. Absolutely. I mean, when you go to an ancient place like the pyramids in Giza in Egypt, you see a progression in their knowledge in tool making. When you went over to the pyramids in Central and South America in Southern Mexico, they didn't have anything. They didn't find anything. What does that tell you? Could it be that these squatty little brown people had outside help? Not to mention that there is a painting, I don't know if it's in Mexico City or somewhere in Mexico, a cave painting that was preserved showing four little squatty brown people with spears escorting a tall, blonde-haired, white, blue-eyed person who had his hands tied behind his back. And that was carbon dated to be at least 1,000 years before Columbus. That's right. And don't forget, look at the proliferation of doomsday programming. I talked about that a couple days ago, I think. You have Life After People. Yeah, you got the fucking apocalypse, all these apocalypse shows, and you got mega disasters and all this stuff to get us geared towards, oh, well, maybe collapse is coming. You know, maybe it is coming. You know what? In order for the white race to survive, I think we need it, even though it would be fucking hell on earth. I truly believe America is being sabotaged. I believe our government has people in there who just have a chip on their shoulder about America, about our founding fathers, and maybe that needs to be destroyed. Northwest Imperative might be a good idea if there is a collapse, because we'll have a large body of people up there to start over. But I hope Mount Rainier doesn't erupt anytime soon. And if Yellowstone erupts, we need white fucking enclaves all over the fucking world. And if you do take part in the Northwest Imperative and move up there, you need to do so under a revolutionary racial holy war mindset, ghost wolf activity type thing. Don't go up there and join any groups. It's the worst thing you can do. Groups go up there, and large quantities of white people go up there, and they make themselves known to be racialist. If there's ever a clamp down in this country, they're going after you first. In regards to the Northwest Imperative, going up there, try to infiltrate local governments so as a means to make it ours, will not only take a hell of a long time, but as this is going on, more and more non-whites will be settling there. It was stated that even if the system does not collapse, we would still be better off. Someone who believes in the Northwest Imperative said that. I don't think so. Zog will make sure to fire up non-whites about moving there. That's what Zog does. That's what Zog did to bring non-whites into Iowa and work at all those meatpacking places. Zog will make sure non-whites are fired up about moving there. All white areas are not avoided by non-whites. Just because you have an all-white area in the country, whites or non-whites want to move there. Non-whites are drawn to them. For any number of reasons. So infiltrating the institutions there and making them ours is a fucking pipe dream. And too many of our people are thinking about that. Harold Covington, for one. If we're going to move up there, we need to stay anonymous, but fuck shit up. I think, you know, forgetting that there's a whole lot of white-skinned enemies up there also. There's a lot of sellout whites up there that would fucking slit your throat just to show their fucking nigger friend that they're not a racist. You know, as far as seceding from the Union without a collapse of the international Zog, no way will they allow an all-white, racially aware nation to exist. They will not allow it. They will fucking hype everyone up. Oh, this is Hitler all over again. We got to do something. Every old argument will be revived in order to stir up all the white sheeple of the world against it. You know, they'll say, oh man, it's Hitler, man, it's Hitler all over again, we gotta do something. You know, this article I read quoted out of the Conference of Vienna of 1978 to 1983 regarding international law concerning the secession of states will not apply to us. How many times have white people been fucked over by the system? And you want to fucking try your hand at that shit? No way. No way. Comrades, the white racial stock, we live in an age of dissolution and disintegration. It is a result not only of treason, but of the circumstances of men who have been theorized, that have theorized and just talked about interracial brotherhood, and who will be hard-pressed to search high and low for any lasting example of it, simply because it is the philosophy of the impossible. There is no eluding the gravity of the situation that confronts us, confronts our brothers in Europe. It's coming. If we don't do anything about it, it's coming. There is no stop, nothing we can do to stop it if we tarry and if we wait too much longer on initiating a racial holy war. We don't have a lot of time left. The only chance we have is to bring a collapse of the system, which will bring a big fucking dent in the birth rate of these parasites. This is a daunting prospect. But if we are not convinced or befuddled, I suggest a lengthy, painful reexamination or reorganization of your inner self through Shield Wall and Wolfheart. When truth trumps peace of mind and integrity trumps, you know, the snare of public opinion, then you at last have the bedrock on which you can build your new house, your ideology, your might is right, ruthless type of heart. And that house is none other than, you know, a two-part question we need to ask ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, what do I believe and why do I believe it? I've been somewhat like a sick animal these last couple of years. You know, a sick animal has an instinct to be alone. And it's caused me to enhance my current introspection, to look into myself. I want to quote William Gale Simpson here when he said, "It is no less a crime against life when the superior is sacrificed for the inferior." I have to agree with that. Equality is a betrayal of life. That's exactly right. You know, I got to say that this is like a truth crushed to earth. You know what I mean? It is the essence of the superior who now lies in the gutter with the tramp and the hobo, whose voice is drowned out by the reprobate mob that the white masses have become, mixed with black, brown, and yellow. And we are now becoming a congealed stew of different blood and traits and cultures and instincts, euphemistically called a melting pot. And it will mean the death of white culture. No doubt about it. We cannot have 14 words without racial holy war. So we must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. How do we do that? Racial holy war. We must starve the sheep inside you and feed the wolf. Why? So you can take part in racial holy war. Carpe noctem, seize the night. Why? That's what you do during racial holy war. Carpe diem is racial holy war. And if you carpe diem, do it in the daytime. Carpe diem is a daytime, is a indoor sport. Carpe noctem is either indoors or outdoor. In order to help you with your racial holy war and your quest for racial holy war, you need to implement Shield Wall and Wolfheart. Shield Wall says, "I am not going to, you know, be swayed by the cries of sympathy and compassion from those that would destroy me." And Wolfheart says, "I'm going to be ruthless." So this is Radio Rahoa signing off, letting all of you know that we need some ballsy action out there. Putting a flyer on a windshield is no longer revolutionary. If that's all you can do because of your health or because of your circumstance, well, you probably don't want to listen to Radio Rahoa anymore. But you guys can go back to those Ghost Wolf shows and glean information off of it. This is Radio Rahoa signing off. bidding you 14 words, but 14 can only be accompanied by racial holy war. But changing from Ghost Wolf Radio to Radio Rehoboth is a total mental shift here. Maybe some of you out there think that I can't become even more militant. Well, I can and I will. The time is short. We're definitely running out of time. I believe maybe it's all over with for Europe. And you Radio Club listeners in Europe and you people in Europe that listen to this, shame on you. Out of the entire white diaspora, Europe, you are the worst. I've been going easy on you guys for a long time. I didn't want to offend you. I didn't want to come across like an arrogant American. I hate the way Americans act abroad. When I was stationed in Germany, I showed respect to the German people. I wasn't one of them arrogant Americans. It's just part of my nature not to offend Europeans. But Europeans in England, France, Spain, Germany, Italy, Ireland, you are the worst out of all the white diaspora. Why? First of all, Europe is the ancestral homelands of the white race. Nobody can get on a higher moral ground than you to accuse you of anything. You have the moral high ground because Europe is the ancestral homelands of the white race and you have every right to defend it and keep it white. You know, some liberals can make an argument about America, you know, that whites don't have a right to America and this and that. And, you know, their argument, even though it would be bullshit, it would be more sound than somebody saying that in Europe. You walk on the ancestral homelands of our race, and you're giving it up. You've pretty much thrown in the fucking towel. Shame on you European listeners. Shame on all of you. You European listeners need to stop fucking blogging and sending emails and thinking that that's part of your racial activity. You need to go out there and you need to start fucking killing. Now, FBI, if you're hearing this, I want you to know something. I don't think I've told you face-to-face all the times that you've interviewed me, all the times you've come over to my house and harassed me here in Burr-shit, Illinois, Berwyn. But I've never told you that I have absolutely nothing to lose. I'm 47 years old. I'm unemployed. I have some health problems. My best days are behind me. Now, I have absolutely no point of leverage that you can use against me. My family? You want to harass my family? My family are tolerant, brotherhood of man, believing people. I mean, just it fucking frustrates me to get to go over to meet with my family on Christmas Day. It really is. Because they're fucking clueless. And I'm through talking to them. So, Radio Rehoboth will no longer have a host, it'll be just me, a voice with no name. Radio Rehoboth will be more militant than Ghost Wolf Radio. I mean, what does it mean to be a Ghost Wolf? I haven't heard of any reports of Ghost Wolf activity out there. I think we've distributed enough literature. I know in the shows I've done on Ghost Wolf Radio lately, I've kind of gone easy on people who only want to distribute flyers. Radio Rehoboth will not be geared towards you leafleteers. I'm going to talk to Tom and see if maybe there can be a special place on the website for Radio Rehoboth. And who knows? Who knows where we'll go from there? Maybe Tom won't like the idea. I don't know. But it's a total mental shift for me. You Europeans need to wake the fuck up. It might already be too late. But definitely if another 10 years goes by and there's no activity in Europe, then you're done for. You are done for. Europe is very close to becoming Eurabia or Eurasia. I don't know when this mental shift in you guys started. I think it was started when maybe the school kids in Europe started learning that Europe wasn't a continent anymore, that Europe and Asia are really one, and they started calling you guys Eurasia. Maybe that was it. One out of five Russians is a Muslim? That's fucking incredible. I really thought the salvation of the white race would come from Russia. It's very, very discouraging. Tom told me that when he got this program, he said, when you hear it, you're going to want to go outside your house and put a fucking gun to your head and blow your brains out. But we need to hear stuff like that. I believe it's worse than we think. I really do. Now, you Europeans, you got the Islamic dispossession going on there. But, you know, like Tom pointed out at the end of the message, that's not counting the non-whites who are not Muslim. So it's even worse than what the guy said on the recording. I believe he said in 1970 there were only 900,000 or 700,000 Muslims. Now there's over 9 million. And they're starting to flex their political muscles. They're starting to maybe even influence Hollywood for movies to start having a pro-Muslim tinge to it. Some of them. Time for games is over. Europeans, you need to start killing. You need to start killing those that have betrayed you. You need to start killing those that don't belong on your soil. You need to grab your balls and just do it. Most likely you'll be at large. Maybe you won't be apprehended. You don't have the police powers we have over here. Maybe you don't. So long, Ghost Wolf Radio. It was fun while it lasted. Because it is a new day. I don't know. Maybe on some radio or whole radio show I'll do in the future, maybe I'll have a lighter tone. But not anytime soon. Last week there were a couple of shows on the History Channel. One of them was called After Armageddon or After Apocalypse or something like that. And it was a 2-hour documentary with actors. And talked about how what would happen to society after there was a pandemic. And it showed this family trying to get out of L.A. and go up to Idaho. And I watched that, and then I watched this thing called Apocalypse Man. I believe it was an hour long, about this ex-Marine Force recon guy who's basically showing you how to forage for things in the city. And I took a lot of notes off of his show because it was very, very good. And after the show, I'm like, you know, I mean, I know I've talked about collapse on Ghost Wolf Radio before, but man, this would be really tough, especially, you know, a guy in my condition. I mean, I'm not overweight. Some people think I'm in decent shape, but, you know, I have some problems, just like maybe a lot of you out there. But if Ghost Wolf Radio had a smaller radio audience before, Radio Rojo was going to be even smaller. Because I am absolutely convinced that the only way we have a chance of surviving is for a total collapse. Total collapse. Not only in the United States, but in Europe. Europeans, or Islamic people on European soil where it gets cold, whatever, would probably find it very hard to survive. You know, especially when the weather turns cold. There's a lot of Americans over here that would probably be the same way. But a total collapse would not only weed out the undesirables of our race, it would be a major drop in the population of these ever-expanding non-whites. As much as you don't want it, we need it. We need a total collapse. Now, collapse can come in a lot of ways. Collapse can be orchestrated by Big Brother, the Bilderberg people. And if that's true, Bilderberg people, if you're planning some kind of man-made collapse to get the world down to a manageable level, just remember one thing. Non-whites may make better slaves, but white people are innovators. And you'll live in a better society if it's overwhelmingly white. Just remember that, Bilderbergers. So if you're planning a collapse, let me just quote Paul McCartney and John Lennon, George Harrison and Ringo Starr. Let it be. Let it be. Speaking words of wisdom about depopulation, let it be. So let it come. Depopulation, let it come. That is the only chance for our race, comrades. The only chance we have is a total collapse where the grid is shut down. Now, there could be a lot of side effects of that, too. You got, you know, the meltdown of the cores of various nuclear power plants. All the chemicals, the toxic chemicals that are being stored in tankers right now. If those tankers were to sit on those tracks and the metal skin of those tankers were to corrode, and all that chlorine and benzene and all these chemicals were to get in the environment, you know, it's going to be some problems, but... So a collapse could be a man-made one, or it could be one generated by nature. A pandemic, man could do that, so can nature. You know, we can have a super volcano erupt, like Yellowstone. That's about 40,000 years overdue. Well, how about another one? On April 13th, Friday the 13th, 2029, the asteroid that's shaped like a potato, Apophis, will fly by Earth. It'll fly by Earth so close that it will come under our satellites. It'll actually come between the Earth and the satellites. On Friday the 13th, April 13th, 2029. Now, I guess every 7 years, Apophis kind of comes in our area. Never this close before. What they think, they don't think it's going to hit in 2029. But what the concern is because it's going to come so close to Earth, Earth's gravitational pull may change the trajectory of Apophis. So when it returns in April again, on 2036, 7 years later, it could hit Earth. And it'll be a tremendous, probably the worst catastrophe in the history of man. So maybe the powers that be, maybe they know that this is going to hit. Maybe that's why they're building all these secret underground installations that are state-of-the-art, that can have long time... be inhabited for a long time. You know, all kinds of food. They've got the latest and state of the art. I don't even know what the fuck I'm trying to say here. I'm just I got so much shit swimming around in my head right now. It's just, that message really got me pissed off last night. So maybe they know that that's coming. Either way, we can't go on the way we are now. Fat and happy. You just can't do it. When the shit does hit the fan, and there is a collapse, when you already have your bug out bag put together, everything you need in your bug out bag and your good bag, it's all set. You got sturdy earth tone colors on. You're not wearing bright shit. Nice sturdy shoes. On another show, I'll talk about what to put in your bag. When you're moving about, you want to keep a low profile. If that even means using utility tunnels to get from one place to another. And then where to find maps for utility tunnels is in the library. The library may be the last place that hasn't been looted or ransacked. What the fuck are they going to go in the library for? Steal DVDs? Well, there's no electricity. Stay off the main roads. That's for, when a crisis happens, stay away from people, stay off of main roads. You want to get from one place to another, railroad tracks are great. Even going cross country. Have your bug out bag, make sure you have a pry bar in your bug out bag. Steel wool and a 9-volt battery can be used to start a fire, but do not store them next to each other in the pockets of one of your bug out, in one of the pockets of your bug out bag. Don't put them together. They cannot touch each other. You know, you can take a 9-volt battery, pull off some steel wool, and take a steel wool and rub the two things on this on the 9-volt battery, and the steel wool will catch fire. You can find shelter for night in a building. When you build a small fire, make sure it cannot be seen from outside. Small fire, maybe you could put bricks around or cinder blocks around your fire and put something over, build like an L-shaped wall, put something over the top of that, and then build your fire underneath it. They say like wet cardboard or wet wood will absorb the smoke. So you don't want your fire being seen from outside, because there's going to be other people foraging, and there could be a lot of people out there with bad intentions. And they're going to want to see who you are, maybe what you got. So, make sure you try to find shelter on the second floor of a building. This way, you're close enough to the ground to hear someone coming. And you're not too high up where if you needed to jump from the second story window, you probably could. You don't want to go no higher than the second story if you can. Okay. Stay out of rivers, because when the grid shuts down, the power plants and the stations that clean the water and sewage, well, all those rivers, they're going to back up with raw sewage and toxic chemicals. When the shit hits the fan, stay out of all rivers and all metropolitan areas. Do not go nowhere near the rivers. Try to get over them, but do not go in them. Industrial plants will be dumping toxins in the river, and your sewage treatment plants, that's going to back up, and the net raw sewage is going to go back in the river. Be leery of making contact with anybody. It's going to be desperate times. People are going to be, they're not going to be civilized anymore. We become like animals. Get out of the city at the first sign of collapse. But you may want to stay in the city, forage. That's going to be your call. If you have a city that's got a lot of niggers, I'd maybe get out of the city for a while. Let them niggers either fucking kill each other or do whatever. If you stay in the city, you will have a power source. The hospital, which will probably be looted of all its medications and stuff. Most people won't know about the backup generator. That will have power. Until the diesel runs out. And these gas stations will probably be pillaged of all the gasoline. But only 5% of cars in America run on diesel. So there may be a chance that there'll be some diesel left at the gas stations. If you need diesel, you can go to the grease traps behind a lot of these fast food places, skim off the scum of the stuff on the top, and then get the stuff underneath it. You pour that into a container, and then you want to take, you know, that stuff that you put in your gas tank for condensation, heat. Take that, which has methanol in it, and take some lye, which you use for a drain cleaner. So you have five parts grease from the grease traps behind, let's say, a Kentucky Fried Chicken, and you have one part mixture of methanol and lye. So five parts grease, one part methanol, and you mix that together. For you got to heat up the diesel. If you're using this for a car, you have to heat it up, because if you put it in straight, it may clog the car when you shut it off. It may run it may be good while the car is running, but you may want to heat it up. Okay. So that's five parts grease from the Kentucky Fried Chicken, let's say, and one part methanol that you got in the heat, that product called heat that you put in your gas tank. One part heat and lye mixed together. Okay, when in the open, move quickly. Don't just banter about, but you want to be careful. This guy, when he was on the show, he was jumping all over the fucking place. If he would have taken a hard fall and broke his arm, remember, there's no emergency room. He would have been shit out of luck. So, move quickly, but move carefully. Okay. Still battery and steel wool separately. I got that. Always assume that you are under observation. Use a different way out of the building than the way you entered it. Try to, anyways. That's just classic anti-ambush techniques. That you would, if you go out somewhere, you come back a different way, because if you go out somewhere, you could be watched. They could lay an ambush for you, waiting for you to come back. So. That's classic anti-ambush techniques. Make sure you take a different way back. All right, hide on the second floor. I said that. Libraries will have information like maps. A library, when Hurricane Katrina hit, the library was the last place that was, it wasn't looted. You know, the stores were looted. The 7-Elevens were looted. The Targets were looted of their TVs and shit, you know. You know who did that. So, libraries have information. So you get inside the library, it's got maps of the city. It's got maps of utility tunnels. All kinds of stuff. Library would be a good resource for you. Okay, move stealthily always. Use all cover and concealment. They showed this guy, probably because of camera angles. But I know him being an X-Force Recon. They had seen him moving down the middle of the street. You don't want to do that. You want to use all cover concealment as possible. Move quickly, but move carefully. Watch your footing. Also, showed him all the time when, you know, going through this whole thing, wearing gloves. That was very smart. You definitely want to wear gloves all the time. Okay, for you people who want to take matters into your own hands, whether you call yourselves ghost wolves, lone wolves, you know, racial holy warriors, I don't give a fuck. Just remember, rental cars are now putting GPS on them. There's a company called Axiom, or Choice Point, that specializes in gathering all the information they can on you for consumer purposes. And they sell this information to the government. I've kind of switched gears here from survival to Big Brother shit. So they can find anything they want, they got on you. Car accidents, divorces, a raise at work, your buying patterns. I remember when I was buying a lot of stuff from Paladin Press, you know, I got started getting catalogs in the mail from other stuff. I'm like, how the fuck do they even know I like this shit? I always thought that was kind of strange, but I guess, you know, they have companies out there that get this information on people's buying patterns, and they send you coupons or fucking catalogs of other shit that you may be interested in. So, I think that's all for now. We'll talk about some more of this stuff. Ghost Wolf Radio is no more. It is now Radio Rehoboam, signifying, because a lot of people out there, you can put your own spin on what you think a Ghost Wolf is. And I'm going to tell you right now what is needed. See, that's why I don't want us to deal with ambiguities no more. I don't want to be vague. We need people who are going to fucking take action. Who will take action in a way that will be on fucking CNN. I'd like to see it start in Europe. I'd like to see it start in France. We must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children. Carpe Noctem. Seize the night. Starve the sheep inside you and feed the wolf. Make sure you make part of your mental makeup the shield wall and wolf heart. Shield wall says that you will not be afraid of Zog and his police powers. You will not let fear. See, I don't want to say what other people think anymore, because that denotes above ground activity. We need more below ground activity. So shield wall and Wolfheart. Wolfheart, you got to be ruthless. That's the need of the hour right now. Europeans, you need to get to work. You need to start fucking people up. The traitors of your own race. And the people who don't belong on your soil. You need to go for it. 14 words.
Well, there he goes. Sling Blade. Ghost Wolf. Radio Rahua. Take your pick. Good stuff. Good stuff. And we've got a lot more. Unfortunately, I can't give you the dates on these, like I said, because the dates were not put on these shows, but we've got a lot of them, and we're going to be running them. Racial Holy War is the call of the day. Racial Holy War. Not Christianity, not some other belief system, but Racial Holy War, which Ben Klassen penned a long time ago, over 20 years ago, when the right wing were putting him down and condemning him and insulting him, lying about him. Ben was right. Racial Holy War. Going to be tightening up this whole situation as time goes on. We're going to be making some changes. Not basically to the radio show, but probably the website, things like that, because we're tired of preaching to the people who are not worth preaching to. We got millions of hits coming in on an internet, on our website, and we're not in it for the money, but there's almost no financial support of the website. So why should we share the website with the enemy? And the people among us who are too cowardly to get into it. So I'm very strongly thinking of changing that situation too. Anyhow, we'll have some more on now next Saturday. We'll have Sling Blade on again. If you'd like for me to play Sling Blade on another day a week, maybe twice a week, just let me know. And we'll do her. 14.5, keep your pie holes shut. Now I'm going over to the Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse. Have a little drink and play a song.
I was holding my pie along the dusty when a buckle. Well, along came a semi with a hind hand to cover. If you're going to win a buck of mine with me, so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a rose with so much dust and sand. And I said, what the fuss? I've traveled every road in this dear land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Crawled the desert bear, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Manama, Lapaloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Alabama, Amarillo, Tucker, Bolivar, Glamour, Delhi, McGill. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Crawled the desert bear, man. I breathe the mountain air. Air man, I travel, I've been my share, man, I've been everywhere. Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, Canada, Monterey, Faraday, San Jose, Talbot, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oskaloosa, Tennessee, Annesee, Chippewa, Spirit Lake, Randall Lake, Devil Lake, Crater Lake, 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 I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man, from the desert bear, man, I breathe the mountain air, man, I travel, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. Astronauts alone, like a chapel with Jacksonville, Waddle, Costa Rica, Pittsfield, Spring, the Baker, Pittsfield, what I had inside, Cadillac, one like that, but I, the whole Jellicle, I've seen it, I've seen a pass, seen a Catalina, see what I mean, driving everywhere, man, I'm an everywhere, man, from the desert bear, man, I breathe the mountain air, man, I travel, I've been my share, man, I'm an everywhere. Pittsburgh, Piper, Grab, a Brick, Carl, Red, Ellensburg, Rexburg, Vicksburg, Alvarado, Laramore, Asmore, half a George, Chad, Chicken, Chad, Santa Brasca, Alaska, Opal, like a barrel of Waterloo, Kansas, Kansas, City, Sioux, City, Dodge, City, what a pity, I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man, from the desert bear, man, I breathe the mountain air, man, I travel, I've been my chair, man.
Well, there's some place you haven't been.
I've been everywhere.
Thank you very much.